there from Paul's letter to the Philippians. It's a few verses from chapter 3 and verse 10 to 14, where Paul says, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." A couple of verses from the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 12 and 13. These are the words of Jesus. "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." And finally, a couple of verses from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, his first letter, chapter 13, verse 11 and 12. "When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known."
My hope this morning is that these few thoughts I share provoke us to think, and provoke us to think about where we are as a community, as individuals, and where we're going, and to work with each other and with God on that road together. Something that struck me this week when I was reading all the news and watching what was happening and reflecting on the summer and Brexit and things like that was some of the language that people were using. And in Donald Trump's acceptance speech this week, he said something along the lines of, "This isn't an election victory, this is a movement of hard-working people, and it's a victory for those people." He was using the language of movement, kind of like revolutionaries would, or, you know, Martin Luther King or someone like that. And reflecting on Brexit as well, that was a movement. That was a withdrawal, that kind of movement, a withdrawal from something to something else. Ooh, we're getting a lot of... I think it's because I'm sort of here, isn't it? Shall I move back? No? Okay. So again, just that language of movement. And since what's happened this week, I've been reading a bit more about the American people and people who are really sort of downcast, but talking about let's mobilize and let's move. Let's create a movement of good in the face of what's going on. So there's all sorts of talk about we're here, we're not where we should be, and we need to be somewhere else. And it's amazing when you read the biblical narrative. And Andrew said I'm going to be skipping all over the place today. And that's partly because this is a message about the whole biblical narrative. You find this message everywhere, that faith is a journey. Faith is starting here and following Jesus, following God over here. But it's not always like that, is it? And I know for myself, there's times where I stagnate, and there's times where I bunker down. And that is something of a pattern in the church as well, that sometimes we stagnate. And sometimes We batten down the hatches and we say, this is where we are, and this is who we are, and this is what we're about. But faith is a journey. And so, if that doesn't make sense to you now, hopefully it will become more apparent what I'm talking about as we go. Right, let's have a look. Great journeys in the Bible. I've been struck how faith and journey are just inextricably linked. In Genesis, God calls Abraham to leave his home for an unknown destination. That's right at the start of this whole thing. It begins with a journey. In Exodus, God calls Moses to lead the Israelites out of slavery and to the promised land. I've missed one out there, but reflecting on the Psalms, and David wrote so many of his Psalms on the run, essentially, going from one place to another, being pursued by Saul. And all the journeys weren't always good. There was times where the Israelites kind of forsook their faith in God and turned to other gods and took a journey into exile. But then being led out of exile back to a land of their own. And then you move to the New Testament and Jesus just traveling, journeying with his disciples here, there, all across Israel. And then Jesus' own journey to the cross. And then the other most influential person in the New Testament, Paul, whose journey of faith in Jesus began on a very real journey to persecute Christians. And then, of course, his missionary journeys, traveling across the known world to take the good news. And it got me reflecting that we are not finished. We are in the making. You are not finished. Wherever you are in life, you're not finished. You're in the making. And we can regress, or we can go forward in the way that Jesus is calling us. And I guess I wanted to sum all of those great journeys up in Paul's words there in Philippians, and we'll just look at them again. And I guess if nothing else, take in these words this morning, let them wash over you. I'll read them again. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I think about so often how the church gets in trouble when we get stuck. And I want to reflect on three different areas this morning that I think that we sometimes do bunker down and get stuck, where God wants to arouse us and say, no, journey with me. This is a journey. It's not a destination. And we can all too easily get stuck. I've read a fantastic book a few times called Finding Our Way Again. And the author really sums up the heart of this message. And I'm just going to show you a little quote from the book, which has really spoken to me. And he says this: one of our most common temptations is to turn the way into a place, to turn the adventure into a status, to trade the runway for the hangar, to turn the holy path into a sitting room, even if we call it a sanctuary. When the movement becomes an institution, those whose hearts call them to pilgrimage get restless. So this morning, I just want to encourage us to consider kind of, I guess, three temptations, and in terms of where we can sometimes become stuck in the journey of faith, and then call us to rouse ourselves for the journey in those areas. And these are them. I think a great temptation is for us to box God within our limited understanding. And I'm going to go further into all of these. To turn the way, as that reading just said, into a status. And that's to do with our discipleship. And then to allow the church to become a place rather than a movement. And obviously there's an element of both and here. We're both a place and a movement. But first, boxing God within our limited understanding. And this is where I'm going to skip around a bit, because I just feel like within the scriptures, there is so much incredible language about God. So many ways of trying to get a glimpse of who God is. And yet, so often we think that we can box God. I think about the times in my life, and sometimes I'm embarrassing, where I've tried to present God to someone as if I fully understand him, as if I've got him nailed down. Even saying him, you know, as if my language, my limited understanding, can contain God. And when I do that, my God is not big enough. He just isn't. Let me just read a few verses to you. And these really just scratch the surface. They're not all going to appear on the screen. But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built? And I'm just going to read a few more. So just take in these verses, and you might think of your own. Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. That's Psalm 145. And Paul writes in Ephesians, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. That's just a few verses which kind of suggests God is bigger and better than we could ever imagine. And I understand that in Jesus, God reveals himself. God is showing us what he is like. Jesus said himself, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. But Jesus also says in the reading Andrew shared with us, I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear now. This is just a limited understanding. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. And then just one more. I don't want to throw too many verses at you this morning, but I'm going to. And Paul writes, and this is from The Message, and I really like this translation. We don't see things clearly yet. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then. See it all as clearly as God sees us. Knowing him directly, just as he knows us. I heard a scientist on the radio a while ago, and he was talking about why he was still so passionate about science, what it was. And he said, the reason I am so passionate about science is because there is always going to be more to know. There will always be things yet undiscovered. It was because of the mystery that he was so passionate. And I think the church needs to keep hold of that sense that God is revealed in Jesus, but is a mystery that no one can fathom. And I think that tension is there in the scripture, that God is far beyond our understanding. And when we share our faith with us, when we share our faith in God, are we sharing some kind of packaged product that we think we've got boxed and fully understood? Or is he bigger and better than we could ever comprehend? Another quote from the same author as I quoted earlier. He says, "God is not a doctrine to be mastered, but a mystery to be mastered by. God is not a doctrine to be mastered, but a mystery to be mastered by." I think real transformation comes when we are mastered by God, when we're enveloped in God, not when we have worked him out and comprehended him. So the first thing I want to do is just call us back to a pilgrimage, to know that there's always more to learn, to see, to experience, to know of God. That theology, the kind of thinking of God, is not just a set of beliefs to learn. It's a quest. It's a quest for truth. And that applies to how we read the scripture as well. It was really interesting recently reading about a Jewish rabbi, and she said, and you may disagree with this, but I'm just putting it out there. And she said, "The thing that's always confused me about you Christians is that you read the Bible looking for beliefs to say, yeah, I believe this. Whereas we read the Bible searching for meaning to help us through life's challenges." And she said, "And we never let one interpretation be the end of the conversation. We see scripture as bottomless wells of meaning." And I thought that was beautiful, just that approach to scripture as bottomless wells of meaning. There's always more to be revealed, to discover of God. So that's the first thing. The second thing in terms of being a people of pilgrimage, a journeying people, was in terms of our discipleship. And just going back to, I'm going to try and skip back actually because I think it's so helpful. In this quote he says, to turn the adventure into a status. And I think that is such a temptation in the Christian life. Even using the word Christian, a word that can be a label, can be really unhelpful sometimes. And, you know, a lot of people react against this by saying, no, I'm a follower of Jesus, trying to capture something of, I'm not finished yet, I'm in the making. This isn't a status, this isn't a badge I wear. I'm not part of a club that is static. I'm not finished, I'm in the making. And I think this can just be captured in these words of Jesus. Come, follow me. And I've put underneath it a few references to verses there, and et cetera, et cetera. Because it's an endless call. He doesn't say it once, he says it over and over again. And it's not a one-off, right, that's it. It's come, keep following me. And it's all too easy to exchange the way for a status. And so often you see Christian discipleship becomes about learning a creed or a set of beliefs, as if that's the goal of Christian discipleship. That's helpful, but that's not what we're called to. We're called to a way of living, and Christian discipleship is training people in forgiveness, in mercy, in loving our neighbour as ourselves. These are the things of Christian discipleship, as much as learning creeds and beliefs. And on that, I just want to say as well that it doesn't matter so much where we are. Of course, that's important, or where we've been. But it matters where we're heading. It doesn't matter where we were 5 years ago, but it matters where we'll be in 5 years' time. And that's to do with the road we're on, the direction, the journey we're taking. Where will we be? Where will we be as a church? What direction are we taking? And I just on that note, I think that's why community is so, so, so important. Whether that's small group community, Sunday community, prayer groups, meeting for meals and fellowship and encouragement. Because we can't do that together. We walk the road together in our journey of discipleship. But we need to rouse ourselves and say, this isn't a status, this isn't a badge. Following Jesus is a way, and it's a journey, and it's an adventure. And then the third area I just want to close with is a sense of journey in the area of our purpose and our mission. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Again, it's about movement. And the Christian faith, I mean, I don't know how much people who enjoy history will know about the origins of sort of the Christian faith in Europe and when Christianity became the official religion of Europe through Constantine and the Roman Empire. And really the church, that was the start of the church becoming an institution rather than a movement, became the official religion of the Roman Empire. And obviously it's a lot more complicated than that. But it's just to raise the awareness that in terms of our mission, when we become within four walls, when we become about the institution, we lose the sense of movement, of going to people where they were at. When you read the Gospels, Jesus didn't stay where he was and expect people to come to him. Every story is, he's in Jerusalem. Now he's in someone's home teaching. He's by a lake. He's traveling. He's going to people where they are. And we used to have a slogan sort of for Alma, a church without walls. And I say used to. That's still a great slogan for our church. A church without walls, that we want to be a church that's out there. And the temptation is to hope that people will come to us. But our mission is out there, walking the road with people. And I was just reminded of the story of Jesus on the road to Emmaus. And there are two disciples. This is after Jesus has been crucified. And they're just hopeless. They're despairing. Their hopes of Jesus being the Messiah, they didn't understand what was going on. And it's such a beautiful image of them walking along the road and then Jesus joining them, and they don't know it's Jesus. He's not been revealed to them. He's just a man that's walking with them. And he listens to their hopes and fears, and he talks with them. And then eventually, God is revealed in him as they walk the road together. And I think that's such a brilliant, gentle image of what it means to be missional, that we walk the road with people. We listen to them. And through all of that, Christ is revealed. So I want to conclude just by saying, we're not finished. We're in the making. And will we, as a community, rouse ourselves to go further in our quest for God, in our discipleship and in our mission? And I'd like to just read some words from Paul in Romans. You might want to close your eyes, or whatever it takes to help you to take in these words and let them wash over you. Paul writes, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Amen. I'd just like to take the opportunity to pray. And I'd like to pray and pray for us as a community. And then after that, we're going to have a time of worship. And I'd really encourage you, if you feel like you've been stuck in any of these ways that I've talked about this morning, just to get into that habit of saying, yeah, it'd be great to pray. I'd like to be prayed for about this. We can do that with the people next to us, but if you'd like specifically to come and pray, or be prayed for, then I'll be at the back and one or two others as well. And someone can pray for me as well. That'd be great. but let's just pray together as a community. And if you want to respond in some physical way, feel free to stand or sit or kneel or hold out your hands or whatever you want to do to say, if you want to say, yes, this is where I am. Lord God, thank you that we're not finished, that we are in the making. Thank you that you aren't finished with us, that you call us forward. Thank you that there is a future for us as a community and a purpose. Lord, would you once again inspire us in wonder and awe about how incredible you are. May we never try to limit you within our understanding, Lord. And Lord, would you restore to us a passion for being followers of the way of love, the way of Jesus. The narrow road. And we know, Lord, that that means taking up our cross and following you. And would you help us to do that, Lord, to count the cost. And Lord, would you help us to be a church without walls that sees our mission out there to love, to be carriers of the good news of a God who loves the world so much that he gave his son. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to invite the music group to come in and lead us again. And we're just going to have a few songs to close our service and to respond. But yeah, I'm going to be at the back, and if anyone wants to pray, then do come back there, or feel free to ask someone around you to pray with you too. But let's take this opportunity to respond.